Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the chapter we read together, the book of Genesis, chapter 43, and the 16th verse. The book of Genesis, chapter 43, and verse 16. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon." The book of Genesis, chapter 43 and verse 16. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon." The blessed Holy Spirit has wonderfully left on record for the Lord's dear people and for their souls' encouragement, many of the lives of those dear patriarchs of old, and particularly concerning Joseph. Now, Joseph, of course, is a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus in so many ways. And here we find it so. And there are a few things I just want to look at in leading up to this text. Firstly, what a lesson there is to those of us that have children, that we don't think too much of one above the other. And the reason I name that is because we find in chapter 37 how Jacob, Joseph's father, thought so much of Joseph, and there was reasons for it. Firstly, because he was the fruit of the love between Jacob and Rachel. You know how he had to serve those 7 years for Leah, and then how he was deceived by Laban, and then had to labour again for Rachel, who was his true love. And we read, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children." There's no doubt he felt too, secondly, a very special drawing to Joseph as one of the of God's dear redeemed children, even from a babe. And we read, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colours." But how solemnly those brethren, the brothers of Joseph, they rebelled against it. And they hated him. We read, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. There was jealousy, you see. And what are we told concerning jealousy? It's as cruel as the grave. It's a solemn sin, that is. It's the root of much evil, where jealousy abounds. Of course, there is a right jealousy in this sense, and I just want to speak of it because we should be jealous of the Lord, our God, to love him and to adore him and to serve him with all our heart. There is a right jealousy. And when the Lord blesses sometimes his dear people, in those that have not received the blessing, there's a jealousy they long to receive, which is a right jealousy, what those dear souls have been blessed with. But the next thing we want to name is this. It was not by chance that this famine had come upon the land of Canaan. Oh no. That was all in the hands of God, you see. And the Lord was to wonderfully bring the dreams which Joseph had in his very early days, that the brethren would all come, and this is what made them hate him even more, and fall before him and worship him. And where did it bring them? To hate him even more. And here we see, and it seemed to so rest upon me this morning, thinking of this word, you know, that's just how man is by nature concerning the Lord Jesus. They hated him without a cause. And let us remember that these men that were to be brought home, it says bring these men home, which I want to look at in a moment. These men were Joseph haters that got to be brought home. And not only that, if you read further on in chapter 37, they were Joseph murderers. They wanted to destroy him. But you see, Reuben, he pleaded with them. You can read it in chapter 37. He pleaded with them that they would spare his life when they cast him into that pit. And he took him from them. And then, of course, he was sold down into Egypt. And there he was to dwell, and the purposes of heaven were to be unfolded. But he says, bring these men home. You may say, what such characters? Bring these men home. And you know the Lord will do that in 2019. He will bring Joseph murderers and Joseph haters home. Oh, he will. We see here the sovereignty of God in firstly bringing Joseph down into Egypt, But oh, you think, if we may pause a moment and consider it, you think of dear Father Israel in it all. This child of love and of blessing, torn from him, deceived by his own sons, Father Israel was, he thought, as he saw that blood-stained coat of many colours and heard their words that he'd been devoured by a beast, torn to pieces. And dear Father Israel was so grieved, wasn't he? And you can well understand it. But it was part of the path that the Lord had ordained for dear Jacob, Father Israel, to walk through. We read, don't we, in the hymn, it is decreed that most should walk the darkest paths alone. And you think how the dear man walked a lonely pathway in grief and sorrow for years. Oh, he did. But it was all in the purposes of heaven. And those years of tears and grief and sorrow in God's time were to be turned into joy. Oh, they were. Well, this word seemed to so rest upon me, and I don't know why, but... And when Joseph saw Benjamin... Before we look at that, there's something else we need to look at, and that is this. We hinted just now of the famine. You see, they came down at the first instance to receive the corn, and you know how wonderfully the money was all restored in their sacks, and they returned to Father Israel, full of the bounty that had been bestowed upon them. But then the famine continued. And Simeon was down in Egypt. And now as they come back, they got to go again. And what do we see here? I thought it was very sweet, really, when this dropped in. There was continually something to bring them back to Joseph. Oh, there was. The famine, the money in the sacks. They had to go back to him, didn't they? And think in your heart and mind, if we are real, you know, in the things of God, whether we be young or old or middle-aged, and we're the children of God, there will be continually things. They may be small things. They may be great things. They may be providential. They may be in our souls to bring us to the heavenly Joseph. And they had to go back, didn't they, to him. And the promise that the Lord showed Joseph in those early days of his life, they would all come and fall before him, was being fulfilled. You know, those dreams in his early days were all to be brought to fruition. You know, there's a lot of dreams that we have, and if we're honest, they just come from the devil. But there are those dreams that the Lord will bring to fruition. And there's no confusion in those. Often dreams leave us in confusion, don't they? But here, though they couldn't understand it, and Joseph couldn't understand it to start with, But this is what the Lord was going to do. You read chapter 37. And then, of course, while he was in Egypt, in the prison, the Lord was to give him wisdom to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh concerning the years of famine, but prior to that, concerning the years of plenty. You know, I've often thought, in times of plenty, people waste things. We live in a country where there's so much you can read of it and hear of it that's wasted. That's good, but it's wasted. And you see, in those 7 years of plenty, the Lord showed to Joseph in that dreams as he interpreted them for Pharaoh that there had got to be those years of plenty and then the years of famine. But the point is this. Joseph had got to arrange for all the storehouses in Egypt to be filled. We read in Ecclesiastes, I think it is, of this. The day of prosperity is set against the day of adversity. And you see, Joseph too was to have the keys of all the storehouses in Egypt. Oh, he was. And he was to have the full charge of the distributing of that for the Egyptians. What did Pharaoh say? Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. But they'd all got to go unto Joseph. And that's what Pharaoh said. And when concerning the dreams that were brought to Joseph in the prison to interpret, we read that Pharaoh said, it has been told me that thou canst interpret dreams. And what did dear Joseph say? It is not in me. God shall give unto Pharaoh an answer of peace. He's not in me. And he wasn't in Joseph himself. It was in the wisdom of power of heaven to unfold it. And the Lord was to grant him. Those years of plenty were to be stored against the years of adversity, the years of famine. Now here, they are brought back again to the land of Egypt in famine. And they take with them Benjamin. And we see how wonderfully the Lord appeared. But dear old Jacob at home, Israel, he says, if I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And the men took the present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of this house, bring these men home. There's no doubt he recognized him, but let us remember, and I thought how wonderful it was, Benjamin would have only been, if I know this rightly, about 10 years of age when Joseph was sent down into Egypt, sold down there. Benjamin was about 10. 22 years had passed since he last saw him, but he recognized him immediately. And when he saw Benjamin with them, after 22 years, and I thought how wonderful that was, you know, and there's no doubt to Joseph this was a wonderful thing, to see Benjamin, that was his real brother, the fruit again of love between dear father Israel and Rachel. And we find here him touched by all this. And you know, the Lord Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Oh, he is. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. He knows exactly what his dear children come into. What you may be in today. And the Lord knows all what you need. And he knew all what these brethren needed. They got to be brought right down. And they had to humble themselves to come right down and to be brought before Joseph. And when he saw Joseph with them, then we read this. And this was a wonderful confirmation that these men were real, you see. Oh, it was. They had said when Joseph questioned them before, of their younger brother. But Joseph wanted to see him, to prove to them that this was the real family of Father Israel. So he says to the ruler of his house, now let us pause a moment. You see, Joseph had not been at his house because, as I have said, he was in charge of all the distribution of the storehouses. So that's where he'd been. But now, he says to the ruler of his house, bring these men home. So they'd come to the storehouses, but they hadn't got to dwell there. They got to go to his home. Well, they had. Bring these men home. You may say, well, after they treated him like they had, hated him, threatened to murder him, bring these men home. And I want to look, it seems to be laid upon me. There are those places where the child of God will be at home. Oh yes, bring these men home. We think first of all, Ruth, you know, if you look in her case, she was brought up and born and brought up in Moab among the gods and the idols and the state of Moab. Ungodly nation, a ungodly place. She's brought up there, but that wasn't her home. It was her home naturally. She was to be at home with the Lord's dear people. Bring these men home. be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it, today, if we were favoured to see those that have forsaken this house of prayer and many others in this country and throughout the earth, the Lord bring them home. So they're among his people. Bring these men home. They may be Joseph murderers. They may be Joseph haters. But bring these men home. Why? Because the Lord, you see, had a, and Joseph had a real love to them. The Lord Jesus has a love to his dear people. They may wander as far as sheep can run from the Lord and hate his name and cause, but he'll bring them home. Oh, he will. He'll make this world that he, with all its pleasures and that no longer their home. They desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. You read Hebrews 11, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Is the Lord bringing us home, bringing us among his people? There is that beautiful word, isn't it? Bring him unto his people. That's what we read concerning Judah in the book of Deuteronomy, in the blessing of Judah. One of parts of that fourfold blessing was bring him unto his people. And just as he did Ruth, bring these men home. And he brought her, didn't he, out of Moab and put her among his people. There she was at home. She says, where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. But then another place where be at home or be in the house of God. Bring these men home. There's a beautiful promise in the prophecy of Isaiah, isn't there? I often plead it before the Lord. What did the Lord say? I will bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Now that's what the Lord has promised. I will bring them. He didn't say they would bring themselves or man would bring them. I will bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And when the Lord promises that, you know he will fulfill it. Oh, he will. Bring these men home. And oh, to be found, brought by the Lord into the house. You see, they got to go into the house of Joseph. Oh, they had. They got to come from all their need at the storehouses where there was everything naturally for their provision. But they got to go into the house of Joseph. You know, we live in a day where technology allows people to hear sermons in their homes like for miles away. But you know, there's no place to the real child of God like the Lord's house. And he will bring his people home into his house. Oh, he will. So they're in the house of God. Now they had to be brought into the house of Joseph. From those storehouses they had to be brought there. And what was he to do? And slay and make ready. For these men shall dine with me at noon. What a favour, you see. There was, he was like the Pharaoh really in Egypt, Joseph was. And what an honour to be brought into his house. to banquet with him. And think about it spiritually. What an honor to banquet in the house of the Lord our God. There's a wonderful word in the Psalms, isn't there? The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Many of us have got our dwellings and we've been favoured and blessed in them. But you say he loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Oh, he does. This is what the Lord has said. It's not what I've said. And here, what an honour it was for these men that had so hated him and so threatened to murder him, now brought to banquet in his house. Bring these men home. But then he will bring these men home into the church. So they're not just outer court worshippers, they were inner court worshippers. Oh yes. I remember when my late dear grandfather was so exercised about following his dear Redeemer. In his last days of his life, he said, you know, I got to the point where I felt I must be among them. Bring these men home. And what a mercy it is, even in these dark and solemn days, the Lord is bringing one here and another there, home, to be with his church, his people. Is your desire and mine today with the hymn writer? With them numbered may I be, now and through eternity. Bring these men home. You think how the Lord wonderfully brought those from the Gentile house of Cornelius to follow their dear Redeemer. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized as well as we? And the Lord was to bring them home among his people from that Gentile house. The same on the day of Pentecost, wasn't it? Bring these men home. But then, there is not just the places in this earth that they be made at home. No more a stranger nor a guest, but like a child at home. You know, when we're really under the blessing of the Lord, that's how we'll be. At home, you see, with the Lord. And of course, these souls, you see, will be brought home to glory. Bring these men home. Some of you may remember that I preached from this word, I think it was 10 years ago, or just over, in July, I think it was the end of July, beginning of August, and I preached from these words here, bring these men home, and that was the last Lord's Day. That our dear friend Mr. Marcus Banfield sat in this chapel. Little did we think when I preached from it, I mentioned it at the funeral, that would be one of the last sermons he heard. Well, it was the last sermons he heard in this sanctuary. Bring these men home. And what did the Lord do? He went to Holland. Was drowned and the Lord brought him home. He lay in the chapel yard now. Bring these men home. I was reading and I'll just be brief and I'll just leave it because of the time, but I was reading the sermon that your late beloved pastor preached when Mr. Jabez Field was buried back in 1951. And of course you will remember, or some of you may not know, but he was baptised here in 1910 and was a member here until he went out into the ministry and then went as pastor at Blackboys. But you see, he came back home to be buried. And dear Mr. Spurling Tyler said in that funeral address, "Friends, the Lord has brought him home to lie among his people." It's a wonderful thing, you know, when the Lord brings his people home. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, "Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon." There was a wonderful banquet to follow as he brings them home. And of course, think of the wonderful banquet in heaven. Then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing his power to save. Well, I shall have to leave it because of the time. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this word to us. Amen.